Welcome to season 4 of the Fit Farming Food Mom Podcast. Connie is a world champion powerlifter, former bodybuilder, and an elite trainer and nutrition coach. As a movement enthusiast and health nerd, she is here on this show to speak with educated guests and dive into the realm of all things health, fitness, mindset, and everything in between. If you enjoy this show, please do us a huge favor by smashing the like or subscribe button and leaving a review. Now, let's get to the show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Today, we continue on with our second episode in the bodybuilding series that I'm doing. In case you missed the last episode, I suggest you go back and check up on it. I had, back by popular request, some bodybuilding information, so I'm going to do a nice little series on that. We have some excellent coaches and guests joining the show, so I suggest you keep tuning in the next few weeks because we're going to have some good stuff, especially if you're interested in bodybuilding, but not just bodybuilding. We're touching on the sciences of getting shredded. We're touching on hiring good coaches. We're touching on mindset. There's a lot of pearls in here you can apply even if you're not interested in the bodybuilding space. So I think these can be great for everyone, even though they are bodybuilding centric. I hope you enjoy the show. Today, we have Justin Mahaley, the head coach at Team Mahaley, and the host of the Grow or Die podcast. He is putting out some amazing stuff as far as the mental side of fitness goes and the mental side of life, really. And I suggest you go check out his podcast. I've been listening to it for a long time. There's a lot of great information in there, but he's recently made a shift and that attracted me to having him on the show today. So we're going to peel into everything mindset. And it's an excellent show. I'm excited for you to listen. Before we get going, I just want to remind you of the podcast sponsor, Drink Element or LMNT. It is an sugar-free electrolyte, 2,000 milligrams of sodium, potassium, and magnesium. Everything you need, nothing that you don't. No artificial sweeteners, no sucralose, no acesulfame potassium. Just sweetened naturally with stevia, and it tastes fantastic. They are getting ready to release some new flavors, so be on the hunt for that. Also, they have some winter flavors like chocolate caramel, which is actually excellent in your coffee. They have a ton of really good recipes also that you can use the electrolytes in and not add a bunch of sugar to your treats for the holiday season. So I suggest you go on, check out their site, check out their recipes at drinklmnt.com/Connie. Any orders made with this podcast /Connie stuff will have a 10% off, I believe, or a free sample pack. So there's always some extra goodies for you by using that code. Go check it out. And without further ado, here is Justin Mahaley. Justin, welcome to the show. I'm super excited to have you joining me. I'm doing a little bodybuilding series here, having some people that are into bodybuilding. I kind of strayed away from it for a while because it was not aligning with my current mindset and my current goals. And there were so many things in the bodybuilding industry that just didn't work for me anymore. So I kind of moved away. I moved towards the more healthy mindset, healthy body, all these kind of things, right? But I've had people be like, how come you don't do any bodybuilding stuff anymore? So I thought, you know, okay, we'll do a little series and we'll bring some things in here and there. And we can kind of describe how they fit in real life with people too, because there are those instances. So I'm super excited to have you joining me on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Connie. I love talking about anything that can simply help others. It's fascinating. I haven't been in too dissimilar of a place as you. It's like the super nitty gritty of bodybuilding. When you really look at it from a 30,000 foot view, there's some issues going on in there. I actually earlier today discussed this on my Instagram story. There's some really deep rooted issues going on in there that I just don't agree or align with. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm not sure if you've noticed the big change in Team Mahaley recently. Like, we're talking to all of our athletes about their mental. We're talking about the habitual items you do every single day to ensure you are in a place of enlightenment within your own alignment. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the spiritual approach. That might be God for some people. That might be a higher power for others. That might be a more agnostic toxic base for others, but all of us have some sort of root as to where exactly we are. So it's fascinating you've experienced similar, but I'm definitely excited to dive in and provide some value where I can.
Well, and that's why I asked you to come on the show. So I've been listening to your podcast probably since the beginning, because bodybuilding is really where my fitness stuff originated in a sense. And it's been gradually happening, but I've been seeing the morph and the mindset stuff and seeing the flaws within the industry, and all of these kind of things have come up, and you've really started diving into the introspective / mental health side of things. And I think that's excellent, because that's a big piece of the bodybuilding industry. I mean, let's face it, you have to be I'm not going to say a little mentally ill, but you got to have something going on in order to even be a bodybuilder in the first place. Right. And you see that transfer into so many other mental things that are going on, whether it be like just somebody who wants to check the boxes, or somebody that needs validation, which we talked about off air a little bit, but there's so many facets of that. So I'm excited to get into that with you today. First of all, who are you? I mean, what do you do? Why are you here? How did this land you in this place?
Yeah, I love this question, because my old answer used to be the question everyone else would give. Well, you know, I'm a bodybuilding coach, I'm a podcaster. I'm none of those things. I am someone who is able to deeply empathize with any individual, no matter what we're talking about. I'm someone who is absolutely obsessed with learning. And so when I have someone across from me, I'm going to learn everything I can about them. I am a dynamic interviewer. So I will dive into places that other people, in a one-on-one setting, in a podcast setting, in this episode, I might do it to you, some reverse psychology on the show. I am someone who, I only know one thing, and that's love. I lead with love in everything. I am a lover boy. And it's funny, it took me until 30 to realize that I just love love. I'm not a huge like romantic guy. I'm not really, you know, like, yeah, I love love, and I love giving love, and I have so much of it. And I love being able to put that out there. I believe that I was equipped with a mind that's able to grasp a ton of information in a ton of areas, because I'm beyond curious. Mm-hmm. I read six books. I have six books, Connie, that I'm reading right now. People are like, how do you know? I can. I'm digesting all of it. But I want to be able to give the people that listen to this show, the people listen to my show, the people I pass on the street, the people that'll never know my name, or the people that'll put me on a pedestal, I want to deliver love, and I want to deliver something they can take and apply to their life in every single one of those encounters. So that's who I am.
I love that. And it's amazing that you don't feel saturated. I'm one of those too. I feel like I'm a lifetime learner, and I don't care what it is. I want to hear everybody's perspective on it. It may not be my perspective, may not be what worked for me, but who knows if it's not going to work for the next person. And it's always cool to see that. And so, you know, I think that especially in fitness, things get so like, people get locked into one idea, right? And those people are closing doors for themselves every day, because I mean, I don't know if it's an anecdotal experience thing that they use based on what worked for them, but you'll see people, they're like, oh, well, this worked for me and it's proof that I can do this. But is it optimal for everybody? And is it even optimal for you? Because you don't know unless you try something new.
We have to reverse engineer almost every problem that we encounter, in my opinion, Connie. So I think there's a challenge that we have of, okay, what steps do we take forward in the right direction to simply look a certain way? All right, well, you know, we need to have a gym membership. Okay, like we probably need to eat some protein. Okay, we probably need to train quite hard, yada, yada. But there's a lot of people who do that, yet they're not active bodybuilders, right? So like you come in and you want to have a goal of competing in a bodybuilding show. This is an amazing goal to have. Let's find someone who does it at a good level. And let's reverse engineer what they did. Okay, this person, let's say we're going to talk females. Let's look at a bikini competitor got top five at nationals. So top five at nationals, cool. Well, to get there, that was her eighth show. This was her third year training seriously for bodybuilding. She made it through one poor coaching experience, and then another like okay coaching experience, but then she found like the coach for her. She got gut dysbiosis along the way. They can figure it. They got all okay. So these things that I'm bringing up are things that people don't really look at because they just look, all right, let's start training. Okay, let's get a coach. Okay, let's not ask questions. Okay, let's just go. Okay, when do we compete? Oh shit, I didn't do very well. I didn't look very good. Oh, so now I have to learn that all coaches are not created equal. Oh shit, now I have to learn the criteria of the division because my coach isn't going to like cover that for me. Oh shit, like I have to put more time into stress mitigation, into taking care of my physique. Oh shit, the macro-based approach doesn't work near as well as the whole foods approach. Like you have all these enlightening moments. That's kind of what I'm trying to get to, because we're constantly just looking forward in our own journey because we are just such narcissistic beings as a whole. It's like, this is my lane. Why not go look at the person who's already doing it, reverse engineer what they did? And how do you do this? You literally shoot them a message on Instagram. Just ask them like details about how they got there. People love talking about themselves. So if you ask good questions, not, hey girl, how'd you get there? Like ask questions. And they will talk about themselves all day to you. And you can skip so many mishaps by just simply interviewing people. I tell folks all the time, look up the Team Mahaley hashtag or look up the clients that I post on my page and go ask them questions. Like, go chat with them. They're all so, I have amazing people I work with. They're all cool as hell. If you're going to post on my page, you're a good person. Bad people don't exist here. So like, go chat with them.
Well, and so that's one thing I like about what you're doing. And I noticed early on is you're a lot like myself. And in that you're, the mindset is a huge portion of this. And some coaches don't focus on that. And I find that athletes end up spiraling because they are not taught that the mental portion of it is equally as important as doing the cardio, doing the food, doing all of the workouts. There's this huge mental component to getting into something like bodybuilding.
Yeah, Connie, that's a really good point. It's such a physical focused sport. And I chatted about this on my story earlier because there was a guy that said some rude things about some of my girls on Instagram. And I was just like, you know, whenever that happens, like you put yourself in their shoes. Okay, where do you have to be in life to be a 30-something-year-old man commenting on what 20-year-old girls are doing? That's weird, right? So you put yourself in this position and you, again, just reverse engineer what the hell is going on with them. And you realize that, man, like some of these people build, he's an IFBB pro bodybuilder. Like some of these people build these insane physiques. And in the process of building these physiques, they haven't read a single fucking book. Not a single fucking book. They haven't acquired any new skills that are tangible to get through their life. Maybe, I don't know, I like reading finance books. I think they're quite intriguing. I like reading like business organizational books. And I have Elon's new book coming that I'm really looking forward to. I love researching stoicism or just people who I think are doing really cool things. They haven't done that. They haven't had any sort of like when's the last time you did anything pertaining to having some emotional control? You know, the guys that do that stuff, they're the ones who like go on rampages in traffic and whatnot, you know, because the car cut them off. And why does this apply to bodybuilding? Because that's happening. There's people who are very insecure, who are emotionally a loose cannon, who spiritually don't even have a single clue what is going on with wherever they're being guided towards. And as you alluded to, Connie, you don't get into bodybuilding because you have this insane security of self. The genesis of most people who changed the world, they had one person who, you have to have love, but you have to have let down from love as well. There was someone who picked them up from the bottom no matter what happened. For me, it was like my mom. I was 19. I got a DUI. I was about to get kicked off the college track team. My mom picked me up and showed me unconditional love. My grandpa showed me unconditional love. You gotta have someone who lets you down that you love as well. For me, that was my dad. You have those two things. It's the genesis of the start of something really special. If you're able to harness it, move past the traumas, I think we get into a volatile place, Connie, when the teeter totters, like the pedal to the metal is all the way on physical, and now it's been like so long that it's been stuck in physical that we're not able to like go to the other side, and it's rusted over so you can't move the teeter totter anymore. Like that's what's happening. That's what's happening in bodybuilding, Connie. It's happening at a crazy high clip too. I think it's a skills thing. It's an emotional skills thing, especially on the men's side. Men, a 25-year-old man, Connie, he's been taught three emotions. He's been taught happiness, he's been taught anger, and he's been taught arousal. He doesn't have hope. He doesn't have he doesn't have calmness. He doesn't have tangible things we can emotions that we can leverage towards, greater mental output. And I find it challenging to continually be aligned with the end goal of bodybuilding, being like, how insane can your physique look without having that mindset really aligned with it as well? How insane can your mind be? How deep can you go in conversations? What are the things that you're equipped to talk about? How do you make people feel when you interact with them? And what's cool about bodybuilders, my last thing on this topic, what's cool about bodybuilders? If you can achieve an insane physique, and you can put the work in to positively impact every single person that you talk to on a day and like leave them feeling really good, man, wouldn't that just be cool? You're already getting attention for your physique. Now you're getting attention for your energy. That opens a lot of doors. And I would recommend a lot of people put that work in.
Well, so this is what I'm seeing you're doing with your athletes. You're approaching it from both directions. So let's dive into this a little bit because I'm sure you see a lot of things. As I used to coach people, I used to see a lot of things. So A, people will come to you because they want to draw attention to themselves. That's kind of bodybuilding, right? You see a lot of pitfalls with this, though. Maybe people where they're using it for validation, they want to feel better about themselves. They think making a crazy transformation is going to change their mental and physical health, right? You've also got people that are the narcissist, so they do want to call attention to themselves. And then you also have people that they truly are. What's the word I'm looking for? Balanced mentally. But I find that those people are less in the sport of bodybuilding. And so see, finding someone like you is a rarity, and you're trying to create athletes that are in the same place. So how do you begin to work with people to teach them both sides of things so that they can be spiritually healthy, not be accepting validation, make it more an intrinsic thing than trying to make it an extrinsic goal?
Yeah, great question. With my body, but with like the clients that I quote unquote, I hate this term, but like self-improvement or life coach, it's way easier because we have more one-on-one time. With the clients I work for in bodybuilding, it's fascinating. You kind of get it through the traditional biofeedback. So like when an athlete checks in with me, there's 19 questions, right? Well, in these 19 answers, I can pick up on your verbiage, and I can pick up on the linguistics. Like, are you being negative in your messaging? Oh, we're going to talk about that because your external health and your the view of the world around you is 100% a mirror of how you are doing and feeling about yourself internally. So, if you're saying things to your online fitness coach that are negative in nature, oh, imagine what the people around you are getting. Imagine what your employer is getting. Imagine what yourself is getting when you lay down in bed at night and you can't sleep and you're anxious. And so now we have a whole other host of issues. Okay, now we're not sleeping because we have anxiety. Okay, now we aren't going as hard in the gym as we can because you're doing a set of training and you're in your head about whatever is manifesting from an insecure place in your life. Now you're pushing people away because you're trying to achieve these goals and you're a little bit hungry, you're trying to go through a mini cut, and your boss isn't happy with your performance. The idea, all of these things, they all play into your physical progression. Every single one of them. There's stress factors, there's cortisol factors, there's circadian function factors, there's our organs responding to those things. And remember, I mean, your muscles and organs, like a massive, massive organ. People listening to this show, your muscles like going to be the biggest organ in your body. And When cortisol is elevated, muscle responds to that as well. Your training performance is responded to that. Your hormonal output is responded to that. For women, your menstrual health is responded to that. It's like, yeah, we dive into, okay, your linguistics are poor in the way that you're speaking to yourself. So until we get that fixed, like, we're not going to be able to compete at the highest level, because you're not going to be able to drop fat, build muscle, sustain your life as a human being until this is fixed. And my last note on this one, this is a great question. I'm so fucking sick of seeing people with the term IFBB pro in their profile, and they're just, yeah, you're a pro on stage, but as soon as you step off stage, whew, are you anything but? And I hate that. I'm not going to work with those people. I had a client this year that I helped turn pro at North Americans, mm-hmm. told me how bad of a mother she's been in this prep, never communicated with me, got a four-year-old kid. I dropped her right away. Mm-hmm. I was like, nope, I don't do that. You turn pro?
Mm-hmm.
In a four-month prep, your kid is 4 years old. That's a large percentage of his life mm-hmm. was spent with you being a shit. Nope. No, absolutely not. I don't subscribe to that. I'm not on board with that. I'd rather be a shitty amateur competitor and an amazing human being than the opposite.
Okay, I absolutely love this, because how many marriages, families, things have you seen go by the wayside in bodybuilding? Oh. It's got to be one of the worst elite sports for your health in general, as far as your relationship health goes, because so many people, you see it from multiple levels, right? So you see it from a fatigue level, right? You're hungry, you got all these things going on, maybe make you a little more aggressive. Pulling some PEDs, make it even worse, right? You see people, they start putting everything into this. It takes a lot. It's not just something that takes 1 hour a day or 2 hours at the gym. This takes everything. You've got to commit to it mentally, all in, physically all in. It's all got to be there. What time is left for everybody else? It's hard.
I talk about a hierarchy approach. I'm not sure if you've seen me discuss this, that everyone should have a hierarchy. I believe every day we should have a five principle hierarchy established and an eight task, long task list established. So I'll do a super quick dive into the task list, because I do think it is important to cover. Okay. You're lacking motivation, or you feel like you're stuck in the same place, yada, yada. Okay. This is a byproduct of lacking self-belief. Okay. Mm-hmm. A byproduct of lacking self-belief is a byproduct of you not getting things done that serve yourself. So if we go in every day and we have an eight task list, for example, so I have this super nice candle that one of my friends got me. All my task list every day is I journal with I light this candle, and I sit right here where I'm at. My journal's right back there, and I'm just going to journal. And whatever comes to my mind, I'm going to put it down. This isn't something that makes me so much better as a human. This isn't something that goes on my task list, 300 calories of cardio every single day. Why? Because I feel better. This isn't so I'm not trying to get peeled. I'm not trying to, this just makes me feel better. On my task list every single day, you can't see my kitchen, but like my kitchen needs to be completely clean, wiped down, everything. It makes me feel, these aren't these things that's like, and today I'm going to make $1 million. It's not like that. And you know, I love affirmations. I love affirmation culture, but without you fucking doing anything, the affirmations you're screaming at yourself are worthless. Mm-hmm. You can look in the mirror, you can tell yourself that you're enough and you're ready and you're all this stuff, but your house is a disaster. Mm-hmm. You're not enough. Like, you're not ready, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should have that every single day. And these can be really small things. The hierarchy is a huge deal, Connie. The hierarchy, when we are stressed, when we're hungry, when we're low energy, or whatever state we're in, if we have our hierarchy established, those five things get 90% of our energy. And if it's not on that list, it can get 10%. So some non-negotiables. Are you a parent? Well, the kid is like two at worst, mm-hmm. if it's like reliant, dependent on you. If you got like an 18-year-old kid, then, you know, maybe it can go down the list a little bit, like, no shade intended. I hope that I'm not either of my parents, like, in their top five hierarchy at this point. So you have a significant other who, like, you're married and you live together, whatever. That should, your one and two are kind of right there until it's like peak week. And then I do think in peak week, okay, we need to have a foundational principle in place to where this can be my number one, mm-hmm. because you have, you know, mitigating stress, having your routine, yada, yada. Your, you know, bodybuilding protocols, like your training, your physical activity is obviously on there. So if you have a kid and you have a marriage and you're in prep, four of the top five of your hierarchy is already in there, and we haven't even discussed finances yet. Mm-hmm. So are you sure? Are you sure this is for you? Now, some people have a very high bandwidth of energy. Some people have financial luxury to afford nannies and things of the like to help with the children. Those people typically aren't bodybuilding. but there's workarounds and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Connie, the root of this question, which I wish I could give a direct answer to, was how many marriages, how many relationships? I wouldn't possibly be able to count that high, mm-hmm. because I've seen it. I'm in the middle of one right now. As we are speaking right now, I'm in the middle of one, just mm-hmm. trying to help both sides.
And that's a difficult thing, right? So from my standpoint, I had somebody literally asking me this question the other day. They were like, okay, well, what does your family eat? And I was like, well, my family eats everything that I eat. And then he was like, well, does your husband work out? And I was like, no. And he's like, oh, I always thought it would be cool to have like a husband wife thing so that they knew what was going on. And I said, well, no, not necessarily, right? Now there are some things here, you know, I mean, my husband and I, we used to race motocross together. We did not train together. We would fight like that. That was it. If you want to bring a fight out, then you race, you train with each other on, it was like, no, mm-mm. Especially because I'm competitive. My husband is not. So yeah. I'd be like, how did this look? How did this? And he would be like, oh, it was okay. And I'm like, no, I want the details.
Yeah. I wouldn't be torn apart right now.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, anyway, and he's like, how do you prioritize though, when you have elite athletic goals, he's like, how do you prioritize this? And I said, okay, well, there's a little bit to this. You can be a little, in my thinking, you can be a little bit selfish with things sometimes, because in order to take care of everybody else around you, you have to be able to take care of yourself. So my husband's very understanding in the fact that he knows that I have to take powerlifting and put it on a pedestal and train and do all the things I need to do for that, because then that makes me available to my family, because I'm happy myself and I'm putting myself in a great place, right? And so I make sure and dedicate that time to my goals. I make sure it doesn't mess with my family too much. I mean, obviously there's points where it does. And that everybody's on the same page about that. So like before I prep for my bodybuilding shows, we sat down at the table and we were, as a family, we're like, listen, understanding soccer's coming up, all these things are coming up. Is it okay with you guys if I'm absent for a little while we get this done? How would you feel about this? So many people don't take into consideration the impact it has. But instead, if you are actually real with your family on these things, a lot of times things will come up to where they are understanding and they're prepared in their own life. And they're able to say, no, I'm not comfortable with this. And it's like, okay, well, then what can we do in order to make this so that it's something that works well for you and works well for everybody? And you're also teaching them that they can be forward with other people with their wishes and desires and wants as well.
That's so powerful that you chatted about the communication that is appropriate before diving into something like a prep. So how does cancer manifest? Cancer manifests because we all have cancer cells in our body, right? If you liken this, as I work through this analogy, to just human beings as a whole. So we have millions and millions of cancer cells in our body. There's millions and millions of human beings on this planet, or maybe billions. I don't know. There's a ton. So when one cancer cell becomes active and it starts replicating itself and it starts spreading and manifesting in parts of the body, it can be active and it not be an issue, yet can also be active and start forming what we refer to as like a tumor, mm-hmm. Which is an early onset sign that cancer is developing, right? And then once this tumor is, say it's attached to your lungs, wherever it is, It's going to continue attracting more and more and more resources. It's going to continue replicating. It's going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. It's going to continue pulling more resources. And you know, now it's kind of become part of our manifestation of health in terms of its overall intake of resources that it has in the body, right? Okay. So if we liken this to what's going on just in society, there's millions and millions and millions of cancer cells. You know, some are good, some are bad, active versus inactive. Some people are good, some people are bad, yada, yada. This one person attaches to something that can end up being very negative. There's a lot of tumors that are benign, but a malignant tumor is causing harm and issue. It can be a benign tumor, and it's just going to swell, and it'll manifest, and it'll exist. Yet, at the end of the day, hey, you want to get it removed or no? It doesn't really matter that much, right? If it's malignant, it's going to continue to grow. You're going to get to a place where you're having a lot of ill effects, and you're going to have to go into emergency surgery to get it cut off. You're going to lose part of your lung, yada, yada. At bodybuilding prep, similar to alcoholism, similar to the family member that went rags to riches like overnight because they like won the lottery, whatever. Same with like any narcissistic fuel drive is going to be the same. Well, it can swell, 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 but you know, the term narcissism gets thrown around a lot. Like there's narcissists who are doing good things for the world too. Mm-hmm. And so they're not all bad. So there's benign narcissists, and there's malignant narcissists. Mm-hmm. And if you can conduct your contest prep in a manner that it doesn't take all the energy and resources away from the world going on around you, specifically your family, okay, then you know, yeah, it's fine, you're good, and we're going to continue marching on. Now if you're not able to do that and you become a malignant tumor to your family, well, how do you get rid of cancer when it manifests in the body and it's killing you? You cut it out, and mm-hmm. it takes part of the lung with you. Mm-hmm. If you do this in real life, your family has to make a choice to cut you out or live with you when you're a malignant cancer that's slowly draining all of their energy and resources. Mm-hmm. And some people, that might be like a really intense analogy. Mm-hmm. To me, I've helped over 3,500 people in 10 years. I've seen this happen, like you guys, I've seen this happen a lot. I've seen this happen a ton. And no, this isn't like just a body blade. Like this is the NFL, it happens. All major sports, it happens. Anything that's an outlier, it happens. And I think that there's a, if you are someone who has narcissistic tendencies, there is a massive responsibility on you to learn how to harness those the appropriate way. I have a really good podcast coming out with Julie Theis. By the time this episode is out, it'll be out because it comes out this Friday. And I would highly, 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 highly recommend you guys listen to that one to understand, because every single one of us knows narcissists. Mm-hmm. Every single one of us. But I think through this conversation, that conversation, you can really understand how to maybe boundary yourself, preserve yourself, and continue moving forward with the appropriate tools equipped throughout a contest prep, or if you're just supporting someone who's in a contest prep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's kind of reverse a little bit on this, because I think this can go to be said for our thoughts as well, right? You said when you onboard people, you ask the 19 questions and you can kind of see where their mindset is. A lot of people's mindset is the dictatorship to their success. So you will see people that they talk negatively to themselves nonstop, right? Their inner dialogue is not positive. Or you'll see people that, like, say they've been diagnosed with an autoimmune condition or weight loss resistance, and they fully embrace that, and they're never able to move forward from that because they've now accepted that that's just a part of them, right? So we kind of create our being, and our inner dialogue is a huge reflection of what manifests down the road. So let's talk a little bit about the inner talk of bodybuilding with that being said, because this is the hardest thing about it. And when people get into it, they don't realize that you're being judged on what you look like. And in bodybuilding, you're no matter how good you are, you always have something that needs to be worked on, right? It might be you need better, more rounded shoulder caps or a better V taper or whatever it might be, right? And so it's easy, I feel, to let that inner dialogue become negative rather than positive because you're always looking in the mirror and you're like, oh, I need to improve this or that. And it becomes this thing that can be very overpowering. So how do you combat that with your clients?
That's a really good question. We can guarantee that we stack together winning days, winning variables, and winning weeks by simply following whatever plan is set in front of us. So when you find consistency within the plan, just the overall execution, and you can look yourself in the eyes, you don't need to answer to me. You don't need to tell Connie. Mm-hmm. You look yourself in the mirror. And you can say, I'm doing everything I possibly can to improve. Mm-hmm. You know what? The negative thoughts are going to be there just because, dude, you're chasing something. Like you're chasing something that you're not to yet. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be periods of resistance. You look yourself in the eye. I'm doing everything that I can possibly do. Then at the end of the day, you have to rest with that solace. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a old cliche of, well, if it was easy, everyone was doing cool. If it was easy mastering your mind, then there would be a lot more people with a lot more confidence and positive outlook on life. If every single day you check that box, remember that thing we talked about where if you're lacking motivation, if you're lacking a little bit of purpose, probably don't have much self-belief, or probably yada yada, guess what happens when you check every box? You have self-belief. I can tell you if a client is executing to perfection just based off the verbiage. Mm-hmm. If you're executing perfectly, and this is beyond the protocol, this really is like the stress mitigation items, the living the life, mm-hmm. and the internal dialogue is a big part of that. Your external dialogue is as well, in my opinion. If you're really like all in, you don't really need your hair combed very much by your coach. You don't really need to be told you're doing a good job. And over the years, these are the people who I seem to deflect the most, and they end up not working with me long term because I'll tell you, you do a good job when it's earned. Mm-hmm. I've coached world champions. I've coached multiple top 10 Olympians. I've won shows myself. I'm not going to tell you did a good job because you hit a week of protocol. Mm-hmm. I'm a very empathetic individual, mm-hmm. and I take a ton of pride in that. Yet there's a power that comes with earning your coach's validation that I just feel like should be earned, and people want it after they had two good days. I'm like, that's the mm-hmm. least you could do. Like, let's mm-hmm. try having like 200.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that there's a huge thing to be said for this too, because we do see a lot of people. How many clients have you had come to you where they're like, oh, I'm all in on this. I'm all in. I'm doing whatever it takes right now. I'm every minute of the day I'm in. And they want to tell you how much they are in versus showing you, letting their actions speak volumes, right? And so this is a huge, huge thing. And I'm so glad that you brought it up because I feel like especially in the narcissism space, since we've been talking about that, if you have the need to tell someone how hard you're working, you're probably not working hard enough.
So I have a fun fact for you. This is a fun fact for everyone who's watching this interview. So this building right over my shoulder, that's the Google building. But then there's a building right back here, and Elon Musk lives there. And Elon Musk, I can see his place. I can see his team walking around. I can see whatever is going on in there. Like, I can see it from my place. How many times has Elon Musk told us he's working hard? I don't think I've ever heard it once in my life. Tim Ferriss lives back there in that building as well. Some of you may be familiar with Tim Ferriss's work. I think he's absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. I've probably listened to 100 Tim Ferriss podcasts, and never once in it, Connie, did he talk about, you know what, I'm really working hard. Mm-hmm. Success is implied. And lack of success is as well. That's my parallel to my saying that success leaves clues and lack of success does as well. Success is implied. Hard work is implied. The bare minimum that you can give as a human being in 2023 that has access to the internet is hard work. That is the bare minimum that you can do. I have nothing but love for the janitorial team that's in my building. They are amazing. They keep this place spotless, but they're working hard. They're working harder from a physical output component than Elon Musk is, and he's got a $46 million penthouse right across the street. Like, hard work is the bare minimum that you can give as a human being. Like, that's where the conversation starts, is assuming that hard work's being done. So you're what you're alluding to, people that say they want all this. I call it, you got the Olympia dream, but you got a JV work ethic. And I'm not teaching work ethic. I'm just not. Either got it or you
Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
don't.
So, to round things out here, what is from a, I want to kind of stay with the theme here. So, from a mental or mindset aspect, what is one of the biggest pitfalls you see in the bodybuilding industry? And what do you think that not only you can do, but people, individuals can do to change it? Because I think you are helping this because you're putting this stuff out there, you're helping clients and athletes develop their way of thinking. So what's a way that you can get out there and help people, and you can also people can also help start to change their own mindset towards things?
You know what's really funny, Connie? I have a this sums up the industry very well. I have my phone right here. I can pull up my Instagram, get the exact numbers. I have a post about brain health during dieting, and that post has a reach of 13,000. Okay. And then I have a post on proper glute training, and that has 286,000. Okay, this is the issue right here. I mean, need I say more? The issue is people don't want to hear it. People don't, they're going to, they think they're going to lose their edge if they cover their traumas that they haven't worked through. They think that they are going to detach from this identity that they maintain themselves to, which they likely will. And that's a good thing. That's evolution. Of self, if they start looking into areas of their life that actually bodybuilding is only covering for. But you know what's really cool? I've seen friends of mine, like, well, I mean, Chris just won the Olympia this past weekend yet again, who the deeper he goes into self, the more external success he's achieving. I would say the same for Nick Walker. I knew Derek Lunsford way back when. I wouldn't consider us friends whatsoever. Now I know that he was going on a big journey when he started with Hani Rambod, and you see him go to another level. There's an issue that every person, including myself, has on this podcast. How aware are we actually going to be of what our pitfalls are? And then, furthermore, let's say we have them understood. What are we actually going to do to change those things? You see, there's a lot of issues in the industry. Like, I mean, the number two figure competitor in the world photoshops her pictures, photoshops her stage shots. That's how mentally unwell do you have to be? We had the issue with Urishna a while back. She did it as well. I'm not sure she's competed anymore, but these people look like gods. They literally look like they were sculpted from the greatest sculptor to ever walk the earth, and yet they still don't feel enough. That's what happens if you don't really fight the internal battles and allow yourself to unlock those doors of the traumas that are causing you to be into something like bodybuilding. It's okay. Every successful person has trauma driving them. Like I said earlier, every hyper successful individual, they've had extreme heartbreak from someone they loved, and they've had unadulterated, unending love from someone that they loved. And that's paramount. You have to understand both of those two things. Yet you can let it manifest very negatively, or you can let it manifest very positively. I think we have really poor communication, just as a whole and as an industry. because we don't want anyone to point out our shit, so we're not going to point out your shit, and we'll just like let it all manifest and like hang out. And so we have weak environments because of that. We have really loose friend groups. I mean, Jesus Christ, the amount of friends I have in the bodybuilding industry that you were just best friends with that person, and now you guys hate each other, you're blocked, you're yada yada. I mean, I've never, I have a, like 80% of my friends are outside the bodybuilding industry now, and that like doesn't happen. That like doesn't happen in like the real world. That's only happening in this industry. I think at some point we need to wake up and like realize that, hey, you know, like there's content you can find out there of me trying to like talk about how bodybuilding steroid abuse isn't like isn't like a thing yet. Dude, oh my God, we got to wake up at some point. Like abusing steroids long term is unbelievably neurotoxic. We also now know that it can force plaque to build up in your brain, which is an early sign to Alzheimer's. But if you guys, if we just give a real quick overarching explanation of how the brain works, imagine a million massive spider webs kind of tangled into one, and these spider webs are used for the spider to crawl along to different parts of their ecosystem to get to. Yet now all of a sudden all there's a ton of roadblocks from whatever the spider web caught, so that spider can't get there anymore and it can't access that part of the web, and now that part of the ecosystem isn't being maintained, and the part that's not being maintained falls off, or it isn't as strong as the rest of it, yada yada, and now you have a weak point in the spider web. Your brain kind of works that exact same way. And the only way to get to that part is by like unblocking the path that gets you there, right? So that's kind of the essence of neuroplasticity. I know there's some, like, not to dive into it on this show, but like some psychedelic stuff happening there that can help rewire that, and I'm a huge advocate for those things. That's what's happening with, it's not just like the steroid abuse. That's kind of an easy cop out. That's what's happening is every time you say something negative to yourself, every time you read a negative comment, every time you feel like you're unworthy, every time that you just continue putting off the things that you then become aware need work, you're just short-circuiting all of those parts of your brain, and you're not going to be able to access and get into them without, you know, therapy of some sort. It might not be like a one-on-one therapeutic setting, but some sort of you unlocking those. It takes way more work to do once all the damage is done versus diving in right now. So let's dive in right now. Like, let's have a more mentally healthy space where we care more about each other, and we simply care more about ourselves as well. Kindness is king. Kindness is undefeated. It's never, ever, ever lost. So why can't we apply that? It's in our control.
Well, you have so many amazing things to say. You're doing some awesome stuff on the podcast right now. So let's talk about that. How do people go find that? What do you have in store for people? And after this airs, I mean, there's tons of stuff to go back on. You've got some excellent episodes, but I'm sure you have some big plans for some of your future episodes as well.
The Grow or Die podcast is absolutely insane. It's my most proud work that I've ever done. We pour into it. Actually, after this call, I have an interview to bring somebody else on to help with the show. So we have eight people working on the show now. My favorite thing is when new people go give it a try. I ask, come open-minded and leave well-equipped, because I'm going to talk about some triggering stuff. I'm going to talk about some things you might be uncomfortable discussing, but you are going to get to sit with me and an unbelievably highly qualified guest in whatever area we're talking about. And we're going to have coffee shop talk on the podcast. And, you know, some people, some topics are a little uncomfortable, and that's okay. I think we should lean into that resistance, because I believe we have so much evolution we can have as human beings and how well equipped we are. So showing up to the Grow or Die podcast would be amazing. We are going to plan an American tour for the end of next year. We currently have Scottsdale, Tampa, Dallas, Nashville, Columbus on our radar. So we're going to be doing some live shows there that you'll be able to come out and support. And then the goal, speaking it into existence, in 2025, we'll be able to do a world tour. So that's my goal for the show. On Instagram, I'm just Jay Mahaley. But the podcast is definitely, that's where you
That's your baby.
want to go.
Well,
Yeah,
awesome.
it
Any other links that
is.
people could look into as far as finding you, or is that the best ones to get you at?
Yeah, go to the Team Mahaley Instagram page, TEAMMIHALY. There's an insane amount of work that my staff puts in there to just provide quality information. I'm really proud of what's going on there. And the Facebook page for Team Mahaley, and then also the Facebook page for Grow or Die. We have a ridiculous amount of free knowledge, education, of experts coming in and chatting with you guys. None of it's paid for. It's all free that you guys are able to be part of those groups, even if you're not a member of Team Mahaley or the Grow or Die fam. But if you're in those groups long enough, you're probably going to become one because, I'm not going to lie,
Well,
we're
I
lit.
love that, and I'm so thankful for you joining us today and spending some time talking about your stuff. I know we can only scratch the surface just a little bit, so people have to go find you and listen to your stuff and dive into things a little bit more.
Connie, I'm down to come on anytime, truly. I will always clear room in my schedule for anyone who wants to have me on their show. Sometimes scheduling might just be a little difficult. I know you did an amazing job. I see you like, hey, I got this available, and it's not much, but if we can figure it out, I'm in. And you nailed it. So I appreciate your flexibility there. I can tell that you're very passionate about this, and you have great questions as well. I'm very impressed by you.
Awesome. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll chat soon, okay?
Thanks for tuning in. To learn more about me, my online programs, or to inquire about coaching, please visit www.connienightingale.com. And remember, nothing in the contents of this show is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness, and it is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult with your primary care physician before implementing any new health protocols.